go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Here we find ourselves at the beginning of a new year, and I've always been one who believes in the importance of resolutions and goal setting in January. Someone once said, if you aim at nothing, you'll be sure to hit it. This new year offers us an opportunity to set some fresh goals in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, Leslie and I would like to discuss part two of what we believe is often a missing piece in the life of Catholic believers. That is, an understanding of the gifts that the Lord has promised to give each of us through our baptism and confirmation, and how discovering our gifts can help us find our place in the body of Christ in this new year.
I agree, Peter. This has been just an exciting series that we're doing. And last week we pointed out the new year is a great time to take inventory and renew our spiritual lives. We learned last week that the top four New Year's resolutions for 2024 that were reported in a Consumer Insights survey are save more money. We can relate to that. Mm-hmm. Exercise more, yes, yes. Eat healthier and spend more time with family and friends. Well, what we're proposing is, along with these typical resolutions, think about how seeking the Lord to understand your gifts and how you can serve Him better in the new year as a Catholic disciple should be added to one of your resolutions.
Amen. As we seek to grow in our discipleship in 2024, we need to become more and more intentional about what I would call discovering, then developing, and then deploying our spiritual gifts to serve and build up the body of Christ. Now, we discuss what I believe is one of the least understood truths and what we find in the normal Christian life that we read about in the New Testament, Leslie. And we've discussed last week that there's two main categories of gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first category includes the seven gifts, which are found in Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. They are piety, fortitude, knowledge, understanding, counsel and wisdom, and the fear of the Lord. The primary function of these seven gifts is to purify you and I and make us sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Catechism speaks about these gifts completing and perfecting the virtues, it's referring to these specific seven gifts. The second category is the charismatic gifts, or the charisms. While the first category of gifts is mostly concerned and is concerned with our individual sanctification, this category is more focused on building up the body of Christ, that is, the charisms.
And that is the category that we're talking about today,
yes.
Our charisms. So, Peter, talk to us a little bit about the Greek meaning.
So, there's an overarching scripture on the charisms that I think all of us should learn and even memorize. And it's 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. And it says this, as each one has received a special gift, that word is charism, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, it is to do so as one who's serving by the strength which God supplies. I love that. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's a few important words in the Greek here that really help us understand what St. Peter was after. First of all, when he talks about each one, that Greek word hekastos emphasizes each one in contradistinction to a group. And the focus is that each one of us, I need to say you and I, Leslie, and all our listeners that are baptized and confirmed, have received special gifts, charisms from the Lord. Secondly, that word charism means free gift. In other words, it's not earned. It's freely given to us, deposited by the Holy Spirit. That third word, it says serving. That serving word is a continual action word. In other words, using our gifts, Leslie, is not just a once in a while thing. It's something that happens continually in our walk with the Lord. That word says that we'll be good stewards of these gifts. And that word good stewards means that we have a duty to manage these gifts that are given to us, that we have a duty to really exercise and watch over. And then finally, talks about the manifold grace of God. That word is multicolored. It means this is like a diamond. And when the light hits our gift, it diffuses the beauty of God's graces.
So we receive these gifts individually. They're freely given to us. We have to use them in continual service, and we need to be a good steward, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, we also discussed the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which we try to do on this program, and they have a lot to say about charisms. We worked our way through paragraph 798, 799, and 800. So let's just quickly review a few of the highlights. In 798, it says the Holy Spirit works in many ways to build up the body in charity by the many special graces called charisms, by which he makes the faithful fit and ready to undertake various tasks and offices for the renewal and building up of the church. And that's one of the purposes of our radio
program. All right, renew and rebuilding.
It also says in 799, whether extraordinary or simple and humble, charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit, which directly or indirectly benefit the church, ordered as they are to her building up to the good of men and to the needs of the world. And then lastly, in paragraph 800, the charisms are a wonderfully rich grace for the apostolic vitality and for the holiness of the entire body of Christ, in keeping with charity, which is the true measure of all charisms. That means they have to be done in love.
And Leslie, I love that phrase, apostolic vitality. That really, again, infers that whole missionary discipleship that we've really been encouraged in our generation to become. So many of us, again, are not aware that the Second Vatican Council also had some significant things to say about charisms and their importance for each of us as Catholic disciples. In a prophetic way, the teaching of Vatican II anticipated the future events when bishops mentioned the charisms in two of its documents. You can research it on your own, the Constitution of the Church and the Constitution of the Laity. The vocation and the mission of the laity, a later encyclical, also talked about these gifts.
Okay, listeners, it's time for a short break, and when we return, we're going to talk about how we discover our gifts. And Peter, we're going to look into some tools that we can use. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Say never fear, and you might be incredibly brave, or it's a cover-up. Being brave is not about conquering fear, but facing it. Bravery isn't about being an action hero or trying to prove that you're better than anyone else. It's simply standing up to challenging situations and trusting that God will walk with you through moments that would otherwise terrify you. Be brave. God's got this. Fear is no longer necessary. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we are discussing how the new year is a great time to take inventory of our spiritual lives, and along with our typical resolutions like getting into a better exercise habits and improving our health and our relationships, seeking the Lord to understand more how He's gifted each one of us is critical to rebuilding the Lord's church. So Peter, as a Catholic disciple, what must we do to discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts in 2024?
Leslie, one of the great resources that we've mentioned in the past is the St. Catherine of Siena Institute that's led by Sherry Waddell, who incidentally, this past summer, we interviewed on this program. And we've referenced it best describes what exactly charisms are and how they become beneficial to us. They do a great job in this definition. I think it's worthwhile mentioning it. Charism, they say, is the Greek word used in the New Testament for favor or gratuitous gift. Charisms or spiritual gifts are special abilities given, now this next phrase, Leslie, I love, to all Christians. It's not just for a select group. It's to all Christians, and by the Holy Spirit, to give them power both to represent Christ, I love that, and to be a channel of God's goodness for people. Whether extraordinary or ordinary, and please keep that in mind, listeners, because we're going to talk about extraordinary and ordinary gifts. Whether extraordinary or ordinary, all charisms ought to be exercised in the service of God.
I like the fact that she says they're special abilities. I think that makes it really easy to understand that God has given us special abilities.
Yes. Now, St. Paul in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 lists multiple charisms that are given to Christians. For example, in Romans 12, St. Paul explains how each person receives charisms that help build up the body of Christ. Let's listen to what St. Paul says. For as in one body, we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ, that's very important, according to the grace given to us. This next phrase, listen to St. Paul says, let us use them. Let me say that again. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who contributes, in liberality. He who gives aid, with zeal. And he who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. That's in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8.
Well, here's a short list of some of the charisms. We hear about teaching, administration, discernment, knowledge, wisdom, craftsmanship, writing, music, missions or missionary, teaching. I mentioned that already. But these charisms are not always immediately evident, and at times they differ from a person's natural talents. So I think discernment really is key to discover a person's charisms, and it involves both internal and external validation. What do I mean by that? For example, a charism can be discovered when a person experiences internal peace or fruitfulness when engaged in an activity or ministry related to the charism. Also, the Holy Spirit works through other people to validate a person's charism by affirming the gift and encouraging them to pursue it further.
And that's so important because the people around us that we walk with in the Lord, a lot of times can say, when you say, I think I've discovered this gift about myself, they're able to say, yeah, we've known that all along.
Well, one of the most helpful tools to discern your particular charism is to complete a gifts charisms inventory. However, when you're using one of these inventories, it's also necessary to receive guidance from other mature believers that understand the operation of the gifts and how to recognize and discern their operation in someone's life.
Yes, now Leslie, I know that you recently completed a gift inventory. Talk to us today about some of the things you learned in that process of doing an inventory.
Okay, well, I've been praying in the new year about my involvement at my local parish and just really seeking the Lord about how He wants me to use my gifts. So I decided I'm going to go ahead and take that gift inventory that's posted on the Our Lady of Mount Carmel website. I also took the one based on your recommendation, Peter, posted on St. John the Evangelist in Indianapolis, their website. So discerning our gifts, what I learned is it's a process. So taking an inventory is actually a good starting point. So I would encourage everyone to complete one. And it takes about 20 to 30 minutes to complete the inventory. And it's really important before you start it, just to take a little time to pray over it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a list of over 100 questions. They get a little bit long and they cover all kinds of categories between maybe 18 and 23 gift areas. Well, it's important that you're as honest as possible and rate the question based upon how true it is for you, not how you think you should behave or feel.
Right. In other words, what's already happening in your life.
Right. But also, an example is, one of the questions is, I enjoy fixing things around the house or parish. Well, if you don't enjoy doing that, you think you should enjoy it, but you don't. You need to be honest.
Right.
Okay. And then depending on the tool you use, you may have to complete a self-scoring list, or the tool itself will tally up your score and rank your top 3 to 5 charisms.
So when you took this, Leslie, how did you feel about the results of the inventory? Were you surprised by any of the results?
Well, typically it does validate those charisms you already have seen working in your life. For example, encouragement came up on mine, which I was already aware that this was one of my gifts. However, I was surprised that intercession was at the top of mine. I've never really thought of myself as having a gift of intercession, but now I can see that not only do I believe in the power of prayer and I have faith that prayer can change things, but I also devote a lot of my prayer time praying for other people.
So as you're sharing, Leslie, I really believe that as we discern our charisms, it can be one of life's most life-changing events. And once you know your charisms, what steps do you think we need to take to discover our mission in the body of Christ, knowing some of those charisms?
Well, I think the next step is to really look at the ministries in your local church and just see how your gifts might pair with the different ministries. For example, like myself, if your gift is encouragement, you may consider becoming an RCIA sponsor or becoming a Eucharistic minister that visits the sick or the homebound. And these are actually two ways I've used my gift of encouragement.
That's really good. So charisms recognize the uniqueness of each individual and how we're all different. Don't hesitate to reach out also to a mentor or a spiritual director at your church to help you discern your gifts. St. Paul puts it eloquently, I think, in his letter to the Corinthians. He says this: are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues and do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. All of these are inspired by the one and same Spirit, who apportions to each one individual, I love this, as he wills. That's the Holy Spirit is in control.
Okay, we're going to take another short break now. And when we return, Peter, I want you to answer or address the question about, are these gifts meant to operate among Catholic believers, not just in the apostolic times, but are they supposed to be operating now in the present day? So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Whether things really are crazier than ever, or we just have more ways to hear about it all, it can be a little overwhelming at times. When that happens, remember the Apostle Paul's words from Holy Scripture. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you for being a Catholic Radio Indy listener.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're discussing a New Year's goal that can benefit every Catholic disciple, and that goal is for each of us to discover, develop, and then deploy our spiritual gifts that the Lord has entrusted to us. Peter, I know this topic has been a passion for you. Help us distinguish the different kinds of gifts the Holy Spirit distributes to God's people.
Yes, Leslie, I've really thought about these things and tried to encourage these dimensions for several years in our ministry as we've walked together. And as we've mentioned before here, both in the catechism and in what Sherry Waddell has put out through her ministry that there's two types of charisms that we see pointed out. Number one, or let's read that catechism in 799 paragraph again. Whether extraordinary or simple and humble, charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit which directly or indirectly benefit the church, ordered as they are to her building up to the good of men and to the needs of the world. So what about this idea of extraordinary or supernatural gifts? First of all, there's 9 extraordinary or supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And I want to bring out their exact meaning as I list them and the literal translation from the scripture. A word of wisdom, first of all. A word of knowledge. Thirdly, faith. Fourthly, gifts, plural. That's gifts of healings. Next, workings of miracles. Again, plural. And literally, miracles means powers. Prophecy. Discernings, again, that's in the plural, so there's several kinds of discernings of spirits, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We would call those the supernatural gifts or the extraordinary that we've referred to out of the catechism. There are also charisms that we would consider ordinary. What do I mean by that? These gifts can function in very ordinary circumstances and in ordinary places. Administration, celibacy, craftsmanship, encouragement, giving or liberality, helps and hospitality, intercessory prayer, Leslie, that you mentioned earlier about yourself, leadership, mercy, music, service, voluntary poverty, wisdom, and also writing.
Okay, well, we do see a lot of those ordinary gifts operating in our parishes. We're familiar with those, but what about those extraordinary gifts? Where do we see them operating, and how can we be sure that this dynamic remains in the church after the apostolic period?
Yeah, so first of all, these extraordinary charisms operating both confirm the proclamation of the gospel, that's the kerygma, and then secondly, because the Lord loves and cares for his people, the charisms are for clear expressions of his love and mercy in order to build up the body of Christ.
And I like what you said, that they are to confirm the proclamation of the gospel.
Right.
So Jesus, obviously, in his ministry, that's miracles followed him wherever he went.
Yes.
And his disciples.
Yes. Now to your second question, Leslie. I think a short church history lesson is very valuable here, and we'll make it really short. But we're going to comment that in the early church, which most historians tell us is between 100 and 500 A.D., this activity we see in Paul's ministry, the power of the Holy Spirit and God's kingdom, continued. First of all, there's a great quote from Justin Martyr, who died in 165 A.D. He was born of pagan parents, but he converted to Christ when he was about 30 years of age. Listen to what he says about the gifts, Leslie. For one receives the spirit of understanding, another counsel, another of healing, another of strength, another of foreknowledge, another of teaching, and another of the fear of God. The prophetic gifts remain with us to this present time. For some believers do certainly cast out devils, so that those who have thus been cleansed from evil spirits do frequently both believe and join the church. There you see, Leslie, the working of the gifts, bringing people into the church and being an evangelization tool. Others have, he said, from evil spirits do frequently believe. Others have knowledge of things to come, and others see visions and utter prophetic expressions. Another important saint was Saint Hilary, who died in 367. He said, there are those who, from time to time, do not feel the grace given by the Holy Spirit. He says, gifts of the Holy Spirit that this experience opens, we begin, he says, to have insight into the mysteries of faith. We're able to prophesy and to speak with wisdom. We become steadfast in hope, and we receive the gifts of healing. He says, little by little, they begin to bear fruit, and he pointed out that they start small, but then the gifts grow as we begin to use them.
And lastly, St. Cyril. He was a bishop of Jerusalem in the later years, and he gave a series of 23 lectures to those who were preparing for baptism. And he did not restrict the gifts, Peter, to those who were ordained. He was adamant that hermits, virgins, and all the laity have these gifts of the Spirit.
And Leslie, finally, to bring it even closer to our time, we love St. Padre Pio. And he was a gifted miracle worker for sure. His dates are he was born in 1887 and he died in 1968. And here's some of the gifts that were manifested in his life: healing, biolocation, levitation, prophecy, miracles, the stigmata. He read hearts. He had the gift of tongues, and there was a fragrance that came from his stigmata. There's one story that's really amazing about him, Leslie.
I love this story.
Yeah. So in 1947, Carl Wojtyla heard about this monk at Mount Garagamo, and he wanted to go visit him because he heard about the work he did and the stigmata. So we went and visited him in 1947 and had a couple meetings with Padre Pio, and also that included confession. Well, later on, Carl Wojtyla began to tell some close friends that in that confession, he was told that he was going to be Pope someday, and he just shunned it off. Then he later, as he became bishop and then cardinal, he no longer talked about that. But on the day that he was presented as Pope, October 16th, 1978, word began to circulate that Padre Pio had prophesied that he would be Pope someday. Pretty amazing story.
I know. I love that story. Okay, Peter, well, could you pray for us? Because we're supposed to earnestly desire to be used in our gifts and to seek those gifts. So please pray for us right now.
Yes. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that the Holy Spirit has indeed distributed gifts to us. Put in our hearts a desire to discover, develop, and deploy these gifts, not just for our own sake, but to proclaim the reality of Jesus Christ and to build up the body of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and your parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.